Wendy's is my taco truck. This is how I pay for all the obnoxious shit. Selling shit on the weekends.
Hey, it's Evan Carmichael, and like Grant Cardone says,
you don't need money to make money. Okay, you need people.
So let's help you get people and make money with Grant Cardone and my take on his top 10 rules for success.
Are you ready?
Need motivation?
Watch a top 10 with Believe Nation.
Okay, let's kick it off with rule number one, extrovert yourself.
You should be investing in yourself. Some of you got more money in Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Citibank than you do in yourself. Your self-improvement is a no-brainer, okay? There's no money, no nothing, nothing that I, no book I've ever read that somebody can take away from me. It's impossible. Give me one piece of data that's good for me. Give me one experience that's positive for me. No one can steal it, you can't tax it, and it cannot be depreciated. See, like I got no money on me right now. How many of you saw Undercover Billionaire? Yeah, you should take a look if those of you didn't see it. You don't need money to make money. Okay, you need people. As long as you're willing to extrovert yourself into the community and meet people. Hey, how you doing? What's up? Who are you? I'm a guy. Like you don't even know how to do it right. You just need to be like, hey, what's up? Everybody try this. What's up? No, what's up? What's up? See? People are going to be like, what's wrong with him? You should practice that this weekend. Every time you go to the restroom or go to the bar, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Who? Hey. What's up? You know? Just say hi to people. Just get used to extroverting yourself onto people, because people that you don't know have everything that you want, and it's going to make you feel better about you.
Rule number two, collect money.
You got to go out and earn money, period. Well, you don't really need to earn it. You just need to collect it. You need to get it. When you go around the money game, you got to remember this, okay? There is no shortage of money on planet Earth. There is no shortage of success on planet Earth. There's more money than there is people. There's more money than there are trees. There's more money than there are phones, and there's a lot of phones on this planet. There's more money than there is TV shows. Like, you can't pick anything. And by the way, anytime there's more of something than there is money, they just print more money. Money is printed. You don't need to make it. You need to collect it. You need to collect it. You need to earn it. You need to get it. So when you do your money target, okay, the next thing you're going to connect to is, how do I get this money? And that will always be about the who. How to get money is about people. It is not about some idea. It's not about, I'm going to create an app. I'm going to manufacture something. It's not even about, I'm going to solve a problem, even though you hear that all the time. It's about how, who can help me solve my how. You understand? Who has my money? Who's got my money? Who's got your money? Who's got your million, 10 million? Who's got your kids' college tuition? Who's got your Christmas gifts? Who's got your Halloween costume, whatever the case.
Rule number three, protect yourself from inflation.
The only asset class that will protect you during hyperinflation, there's a couple of them, but there's only one that cash flows. Gold, certainly, silver, yes. Other asset classes that appreciate in value will get accelerated. Real estate, however, for the last couple thousand years, without exaggeration, has been the number one by a long shot asset class that will protect you and your family against inflation. This is something you guys really need to worry about. The politicians are talking about inflation being a problem for the upper class. Look, inflation infects like a virus. Everyone, okay? Inflation, Warren Buffett said inflation was like the invisible tax. If you don't like taxes, you're going to hate inflation. We have not had inflation in this country in probably...
Since the 80s.
Like, so that's, over half of my lifetime, we have not had hyperinflation, particularly hyperinflation, where you're starting to get escalated rates of food, water prices, gasoline prices, fuel prices, diesel prices. Look at home prices. Just in Miami, I'm in Miami this morning going to this event. Beautiful Miami. These prices, In the first 10 months of 2021, these prices went up 19%. That is hyperinflation. That means your mortgage payment will go up almost 20%. That means your down payment will go up if it's a $1 million house or $400,000 house. Let's say it's a $400,000 house and you had to put $40,000 down just January of last year. That down payment now is $50,000. So you got to get ready for this. Now, how do you protect yourself? One, you got to be aware of what inflation is. Number two, you got to know if I have money that's going down in value as assets go up, it takes more money now. This bag of money will not basically, this was $100,000 in this bag. And because of the inflation in the last 12 months, this is now, I just basically took this much out of it. You understand? That's how inflation works. The bag was full. And now the bag is less full, okay, because of inflation. It's invisible, but it works in reverse, meaning I just simply need more of a bag. I probably need this bag and another 20% of this bag to buy the same products and services because of the printing of currency and because of inflation. It's not very complicated. And you don't need to figure it out. You just need to know, number one, it's here. Number two, I'm going to do something about it. You need to do something about it. And the thing that you can do about it, this is not a new thing, by the way, folks. This is not a Bitcoin. This is not BitClout. This is not
NFTs,
Ethereum. This is nothing. This is not the Metaverse. This is nothing to learn. Like, this is simply, I'm going to find an asset that cash flows. A real property that cash flows where I protect my capital.
Rule number four, play big.
Bigger is not better. I remember a guy named Phil told me this. He went bankrupt. And then he says, I just want to remind you, man, bigger is not better. I had the bowling alley. I had the big house. I had to die. And then he's like, bigger is not better, man. And I believed it. I bought it. And so I stayed small. And later I realized that today, I know bigger is definitely better. Okay. And you just got to keep getting bigger. The problem with bigger is you can't get out of the game and you keep getting bigger and bigger, right? You want to keep getting bigger and bigger and it keeps bringing on. You can't get out of the game because then you have obligations to other people. Now there's a lot of employees, but bigger is more fun and it comes with more problems, but it comes with more fun too.
Also, to make sure you're actually taking action after watching this video, I've designed a special free worksheet just for this video. The worksheet will highlight all of the lessons learned in this video, as well as pull out our three favorite learnings and quotes that will inspire you to actually do something. The worksheet will also give you space to write down what your key takeaways are and your specific plan of action to make sure you're getting results. If you want the worksheet designed specifically for this video absolutely for free, there's a link in the description below. Go click on it and start building the momentum in your life and your business. I'll see you there. Rule number five, invest.
I will never give the bank money until I invest in my business. I'm never going to save money at Wells Fargo. Cash is trash, folks. How many were taught you were brought up cash is king? It's garbage. It's pieces of paper. If you saw the stock, if you saw the dollar as a stock in the last 55 years, it's going down like this. The graph is straight down, almost a 90% depreciation value. You would never invest in that stock. But what do you guys do? Work your ass off, trade time for money, take the money and save it so it gets depreciated. What does the bank do as soon as you give it to them? They call me up. Hey, Mr. Cardone, can we lend you some of these people's money? They're hardworking people. They were working their asses off on the weekends, trading time for money. And they came and gave us the money. It's amazing these people do this over and over again. I'm like, please send it over. Once you and your business are doing well, by the way, you'll know. It's not even a question. If you're calling me up like, when should I start investing, Grant? If you're still asking that question, you don't have enough money. It will be so obvious to you. Your business is on banging. It's banging. 12 cylinders just banging, man. Listings coming in. Sales being made. People talking about you. Your freaking numbers are going like this. Everything's like straight up and vertical. Then you should invest in something where you cannot lose your money.
Rule number six, have a dream.
The number one thing is you got to make a decision before you even take a step. What is it you want with wealth? Is it to just get by, simply pay the bills? You want to become a millionaire, a decamillionaire, a hectamillionaire, a billionaire? Which one you want to do? I've done every one of those. And I started with one thing, the dream. What was the dream for me? In the middle, in the very beginning was simply, man, I just want to pay my bills. And that was a mistake because I was thinking too small. So however high you set your goals and your targets is going to determine where you get. So most importantly, just set a number. Is it a million, 10 million, 100 million, $1 billion?
Rule number 7, improve yourself.
I'm greedy about my own self-improvement.
Yeah.
I'm greedy and I am very highly interested in my personal self-improvement because I know that's where it all starts. I have to make me the most important thing in my life. Because other people can't get better if I don't. I would love to improve my communication skills. Clubhouse is like the amount of eloquence, the amount of people there that are able to see other people's viewpoints has been fascinating to me. So number one, I'd like to become a better communicator. Number two, and I think I already am just from being on Clubhouse. Like Clubhouse has been an incredible gift to me.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun to be in those rooms with you.
Yeah, and so I've learned a lot about how to talk, how to listen, that I didn't know because of the two-way communication. You don't get that from Facebook and Instagram. Yeah, I don't get it from dropping a video on YouTube. Number two is the collaboration. I want to collaborate with more people. Number three, third thing I want to do, I need to work on my relationships, my personal relationships. Could be a better husband, definitely a better husband. I've been running really fast.
Rule number 8, know your potential.
I don't push my kids. I'm pushing me. So if my kids can learn from me pushing me, because I don't want anybody pushing me. You're never gonna push me as hard as I'll push me. You know, I had a manager when I was 29, 28 years old. He set a quota for me and I started laughing at him. And he's like, what are you laughing about? I'm like, dude, how can you set my quota? How can you set a quota for me, dude? You don't even know your potential, much less mine. Because I'm the one that knew what I could be doing. I'm sitting there quietly as a salesperson thinking, I could come in 2 hours early. I got nothing to do. I was single. I was lonely. I had nothing to do. I could have gotten to work 2 hours early. I could have stayed 4 hours later. How can somebody that doesn't know what's going on for me set my potential?
Rule number 9, buy the best assets.
You're compromising location because of price. Buy the best assets you can buy, folks. I've been doing this 30 years. I bought, what are we at right now? 10,000 units? I'll be at 12,000 units by the end of the year. I have bought and sold probably 15,000 apartments, $4+ billion worth. I'm sharing with you from my heart. These are the mistakes I made. I bought too small. Number two, I compromised location over a little bit of money. Money is garbage, okay? The money I have in my pocket, I mean, let's face it, it's not worth a lot. It buys goods and services. It'll trade at Amazon. You can't even go to Neiman Marcus and drop the whole wad anymore. They won't take $2,000 in cash. They want to put it on a credit card, probably their credit card, okay? So you got to keep a lot of cash today. Here's some more cash. What could happen to this cash? Somebody could steal it. It could get burned. It could get lost. It could get misplaced. You can't misplace a great location. A great location where there's Starbucks and Whole Foods and maybe a Chipotle and there's traffic and there's jobs, you can never ever pay too much for a great location.
And rule number 10, the last one before some very special bonus clips, is have fun.
This is what's most important, and it's not this car. It's this: peace, love, and cash flow. And the more cash flow you get, the more peace you're gonna have. I'm just telling you. I'd even tell you that you might even have more love in your life if you get more cash flow.
One thing nobody can say that I don't, like, I use information. I use experiences. I leverage everything. Like, I consume and I multiply. I don't just consume. And too many people just consume and never use. So
what do you mean by that? They're consuming information, but they're never applying it. Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, you're either a consumer, a producer, or an investor. And I'm all three. I consume it, I produce on it, and then I invest in it.
When I started a Twitter account, I had no followers. When I started a Facebook account, no followers. I was my first follower. When I started an Instagram account, no followers. I didn't know how to post video. I didn't know how to take a selfie. I didn't know how to do any of this, but I did have a commitment
to grow in my finances. And if you want to grow your finances, attention is the gateway. You want to go to heaven? Who wants to go to heaven? You got to die. I'm just telling you, man, you got to die to go to the heaven. And most people don't want to die. They want to go to heaven, but they don't want to die. Most people want money, but they're not willing to get the attention. They're not willing to do what it takes to get the attention, including spending money. And I would just tell you this, if you want to change your financial condition, the first thing you need to do is go out and market in the marketplace so that you can create a lead and not worry about whether there's ROI or not. It's so stupid that people are like, what's the ROI? Dude, what's the ROI if nobody knows you? Okay, what's the ROI if I don't know your name, don't know your company, don't know what you do, don't know your service, don't know your product, don't know where you're located? What is the ROI, okay? Best product does not win today. The best known product wins. You think Starbucks sells the best coffee? Please, it's nasty. Okay, but it's close. And I know what I'm getting when I get there. McDonald's, they don't sell the best hamburger. Close and available.
You need to think way bigger than you're thinking. I started in the apartment game 25 years ago in San Diego, California. My first deal I ever bought was one unit.
This little yellow house that I paid $78,000 for, by the way, all this landscaping, that's one of the things I'm known for. I'm like, I'm putting trees up there because that's going to give me some extra rent. It didn't, by the way.
My next deal was 38 units. Okay, it was easier buying 38 units than it was one. The only difference was to think. I had to think different. Got to make a few more phone calls, but the play is bigger, right? The reason so many real estate people are like marginal people, no offense. Raise your hand if you're marginal.
They left on day one.
Raise your hand if you're a liar. No. look, I'm marginal compared to my potential. The fact that there's people in this room that don't know me, I've written 7 books, 13 best-selling business programs. I'm probably the top 1 or 2, maybe 3 social media people in the world, 7 million people on Facebook. But 7 million people on Facebook is nothing compared to 7 billion people in the world.
Problems are opportunities. The bigger the problems, if you could look for the giant problems on this planet and quit complaining about them, right? And quit blaming somebody about them and say, man, what if I took responsibility for that problem? Because there is money in solving problems. You solve a problem, you'll end up with money. And the bigger the problem you solve, the more money you end up with.
First 35, 40 years of my life, I was being held back by what I knew, what I thought was the truth. It wasn't the truth. These people and companies that are buying private jets, that are hooking up with whoever they want, when they want, that are spending millions and millions and millions of dollars on connections and speed and access. Dude, what are they doing, man? What are they doing, okay? They're doing something different than you and I were taught to do. The school systems don't teach you this. Your mama didn't teach you this. Your daddy didn't teach you this. Your family doesn't know this, right? So you gotta go outside your circle of influence and look around. 14 million, 6 million, 4 million, it's all over the place. And a little guy right here got the big jet on the tarmac. How's a little guy like me end up making it all the way up the food chain? Because I studied those guys. And you can do the same thing. If you study hard enough, the right people, not those guys, those are the pilots, okay? See, they work for 150 grand a year and think they're cutting a big fat hog in the ass. Oh, I make 175,000. But they stop learning what the owner knows. Okay, study, man, study. Pay the price for the information and then pay for the price of access to the people and learn from them.
If I could go back to my 20-year-old self, what I would tell my 20-year-old self is one thing. Get your money right, son. Worry about the money. And now I know a lot of people think that this is not the thing people should be focused on. However, on this planet, if you don't get your money right, you're going to be worried all the time. You can't take care of your parents. You can't take care of yourself. You can't take care of your rent. You can't live in a nice place. You can't take care of your car. Get your money right, okay?
What should you be spending your money on? Why do wealthy people use money, not spend money? Why do wealthy people buy businesses, they don't buy homes? Why do wealthy people use debt to grow their business, they don't use debt to consume products and services? Why do wealthy people not invest in 401ks and SEPs and retirement accounts? They don't even worry about that. They worry about getting their money so freaking right that they can go wherever they want, day or night. It's saying, hey man, if you got $1 million, you're basically just a freaking deadbeat. And that your daddy didn't tell you that. If you didn't have any more income, and you were, how old are you?
27.
You're 27 years old. I'm gonna do this at 47. I'm gonna do it at 65. 27, you don't have any more income. How long would that money last? At $4,000 a month, you got 25 years. Where can you live on $4,000 a month? You'd have to live on $4,000 a month for 25 years. You will be 52 years old, my friend, and dead broke. Number one thing you got to do is this. You got to change the target, and you need to look at the target daily. The target, you have the wrong target right now. If you're struggling, you have the wrong target. When you change the target, everything changes. Now, and I started with zero, just so you guys know. I didn't have anything. Okay, so look, it's simple. Target, what's your new target?
Freedom.
Yeah, freedom. But let's put a number on it. So your first target should be $10 million and nothing short of that. Number one, the target. Number two, you need to get your income to a place. This is a fascinating concept right here. Okay, if you can do this, I guarantee you'll be rich. You need to get your income not to what pays your bills, but to where you can save 40% of your gross income is saved. All right, so now when you do this math, you're like, dude, how much money do I actually need? Let's kick this up to 20 grand. At 20 grand, what happens? You're saving eight. Storage, you're paying eight, and now you can live on four. See, now this is the right way to do a budget. You make 30,000, 12's going to storage, 12's going to the IR and the S, and that leaves you with six. So now you can start seeing that you gotta be somewhere north of 300 grand a year. This is what they don't teach you at Harvard. You got to be somewhere north of 360 a year before you even have money to live on. Unless you're just, you know, you're a dreck. You're just an irresponsible human being that's, you know, not putting storing money away for the future. Okay. Now you're saving 12 grand a month. That's $144,000 in 1 year. In 10 years, that's $1.4 million. In 10 years, you're a millionaire stored. You guys need to be heavily money motivated from a survival standpoint. Okay, number three thing you're gonna do. You're gonna go broke right here and invest the storage. Storage has to get invested. The golden goose is only good if she lays eggs. Otherwise you can kill her, eat her for a chicken. Need eggs, money needs to make babies. Right? So your goal right here is to invest the storage money and continue to do that until this money over here, the passive money, is equal to your income. Right? So what would I do? I'd go out, I'm gonna make 30 grand. I'm gonna store 12, I'm gonna pay the IRS, I'm gonna live on six. Warren Buffett says, don't lose money, number one. Number two, don't lose money. I would tell you, number three, don't lose money. And that's the reality of the situation. That's what Peter Thiel was saying. A single digit millionaire cannot even provide themselves with their own personal defense in America, okay? Hulk Hogan, all that money Hulk Hogan made, he blew it all. He blew it all, probably buying hair pieces. Okay, he blew it all, ended up with a little money, thought he was, oh man, I got a little money, until he had that freaking lawsuit, and then he can't even defend himself. So, it happens to a lot of people. How many of you know a family member lost their job? Okay, how many of you have a family member where the kid got a drug addiction, he had to go to rehab for 30 days, and it cost 40 grand? Dude, bad shit happens. How many of you know somebody got cancer? Okay, how many know somebody in a car accident cost 300 or 400 grand? Shit happens. Okay, the problem is not that shit happens. It happens if people aren't ready for it.
Oh God, I can't believe this happened to me. Oh,
really? God damn, you've been around long enough. Right? How many of you can't swim?
You live on a planet with water.
I'm just saying you might want to get a swimming lesson. It's a wet planet.
I love baseball, but you don't have to love baseball to be inspired by greatness. Watch this.
Watch this. Oh my God. So beautiful. Look at this.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Greatness, man. That's greatness. When I watch that, I'm like, I wonder how many times he's run, jumped, taken fly pitch. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of times to get to have that moment right there. So, by the way, that's in everybody here. Okay. So if you ever see a great ball play, whether it's football or hockey or ballet or dancing, and you're inspired, it's because it's hitting that part of you that's like you have that in you.
You got everywhere you go. You need to confront every time you hit up against, oh, the room's $249, the meal's $25, Starbucks is $6, the airline flight costs $600. Every time you like, oh, okay, you need to understand that you're being reminded you don't have enough money. It has nothing to do with the price. But watch how much people disassociate. Oh, American Airlines is charging too much for that ticket. That has nothing to do with it. You don't make enough money. Okay, so I had a guy, I was in Oakland, California. I was flying back and I said, hey, anybody want to fly home with me? And the guy's like, I want to fly home with you, I'll do it. I said, good, that'll be $48,000 for fuel. Oh, I don't want to do it. No, you can't do it, because you don't have the money. Fuel's not the problem. He doesn't make enough money. So just start flipping things. So like now when I see Wagyu, remember that Wagyu we ate in Vegas? It was like $115 for a strip that big. Never do it again, by the way. But the fact that I complain about it only means I don't make enough money. And if the Wagyu's too much money, if the $115 for a little strip of Wagyu is too much money, what does that say about what I'm selling my products for? I'm not charging them up, can't get enough, I have this idea. So it's really, to me, it's really, we go to Paris, man, and we go to the Chanel store and there's people in line. In line, out the front door at the Chanel store. I'm like, oh my God, great experience for me. How much money's on this planet? Go to Monaco, see the yachts. $200 million, $240 million, $300 million. $300 million, they cost $30 million a year to take care of them. Great experience. Flying private, been a great experience for me.
I was 52 years old and I had a problem. I was depressed, I wasn't satisfied. I was hungry but didn't know what to do. I had businesses, I had money, I had a whole bunch of stuff, but I'm like, dude, what am I doing now? I'm bickering with Elena. We had our kids. We had the first two kids and we're like, okay, we got a kids. I'm being a parent now, okay? I'm being a married guy, right? I'm being a businessman and I'm unhappy. And then I start asking people, what's wrong, man? What's wrong? What's wrong with me, man? Something wrong with me? Something wrong with me? Oh yeah. And as soon as you say, is something wrong with me? Shit, everybody's got an opinion. Oh yeah, man. Man, you got a disease, man. You got a problem. You got issues, man. You work too much. You're a work addict. You're insecure. Your daddy died. Your daddy died and left a hole in you. Left a hole in me. Shit. I can't go on a vacation. I want to do something, man. Doing less has never solved my problems. Doing less. Moderation has never solved a problem for me. The problem that I've had in my life, okay, was not my marriage. It's not, okay, I'm not a bad parent. I wasn't helping enough people. You should be up here. You should be dropping out of the ceiling. You should be helping more people.
If you guys look around, man, it would appear to me that 99% of the people that you run into today or having some kind of financial problem. Oh, 76% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. I know people that don't live paycheck to paycheck that worry about money every second of every day. When my dad died, I didn't know anything about the 1%, but I knew I wanted to get in that club.
I'm like, I have to get above whatever this middle class thing is because there's no safety here. It's constant fear. I've only wanted money for one reason, to be out of fear. So I could help out, so I could give to charities, so I could help my brother, so I didn't have to worry about how much the fuel costs or do I run an ad budget or not. Man, you guys got to get out of the fear, man. That's the whole purpose, okay? The fear, by the way, is not a conspiracy. That shit is real. Everybody like, oh, fear ain't real. Yeah, well, it's easy for you to say you ain't got any this second, okay? Because it ain't scary to write a damn quote or to post something on Instagram. That shit ain't scary. What's scary is going to take a loan for $60 million. See if you ain't got a little bit of scare, okay? Saying no to a customer. Hey, man, you're wrong, okay? My daughter told me the other day, customers are always right, Papa. No, they're not. No, they're not. And most people don't even know how to tell a customer they're wrong.
I lost my dad when I was 10. I lost my brother when I was 20. I lost, you know, I gave up my career and maybe I'm gonna be a baseball player to drugs. I've lost 5 or 6 jobs now. And I'm a loser. I'm a total loser. But I do have this little light inside of me that says I'm special. I have this little thing inside of me that says, hey, you are special, you know? You have something. But it was just covered up in all this stuff. And all these problems, and the drugs, and the bad friends, and the bad choices. So my mom finally says, enough is enough. Don't come back here anymore. I'm done. I could tell it was hard for her. I'm in a treatment center in the next 24 hours. I go to this treatment center. I'm there 30 days. For the first 30 days in 7, 8, 9 years, I don't use drugs. Oh, wow. I don't have to use drugs. Finally, that thing where I said I was quitting 10 times a day, I was quitting 10 times a day, for the first time in my life, I was able to quit successfully. I'm leaving the treatment center when the insurance ran out, because that's how those work. When the money runs out, they boot you to the curb. I'm terrified, scared to go back to society. I don't have any friends that aren't using drugs. My girlfriend was using drugs. Everybody around me, everybody I knew used drugs. And I'm going back to a job where even at the job I had, they used drugs. And I'm like, I'm going back to an environment. I have to cut off all my friends. Not really friends. I got to cut off all the enemies, right? And I got to start over. And before I leave, the counselor grabs me and the counselor says to me, look, dude, I'll see you back here. Probably, you know, if you don't die, I'll see you back here. And I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? I'm not coming back here. And he's like, oh, no, you're coming back. And then he gives me the lecture. He's like, you'll never make it. See, when you go to a treatment center, you tell them everything about your life, like all your secrets, all your inhibitions and your, you know, the things you want to do in your life, right? And so I'm telling them in this thing, everything I've done wrong, I share my whole life, but I also share with them what I want to do, my inspiration in life. I'm going to write books, I'm going to speak to audiences, I'm going to help people, I'm going to tell people this story about drugs and how damaging they are, and I'm going to be somebody, I tell them. And they're like, no, dude, you're a drug addict. And all you're ever going to be, this is what the counselor tells me, all you're ever going to be is a drug addict. You need to give up all the ideas of writing books, speaking to audiences, being rich. I always wanted to be rich. I wanted financially to be rich my whole life. I wanted to be my dad. I wanted to be the guy that could take care of his family. They said, you need to give up all those ideas and settle for one thing, not using drugs. I just got awarded this deal, $92.5 million, 31 acres of land. My buddy Evan Carmichael talks about dream, believe. Yeah, but dream what and believe what? Believe you pay your bills or believe you can one day write a check for $60 million? What do you believe? What are you going to dream of? Like literally, I think people's dreams are one of the things holding them back because they don't know how to dream. I don't know how big to dream. This is doable for any person. I don't care who you are. Anybody could do this deal. Anybody could do that deal.
I know the guys that own private jets.
They're no smarter than anybody else. They're not smarter. They don't work, probably don't even work any harder. But they did think bigger. And they get and you can't catch whales in a bowl, goldfish bowl. Money follows attention. Money follows attention. Hey! How much attention can you guys get?
A lot.
Okay. Most of you can't get attention because your mom and daddy said, don't get too much attention. Don't get too much attention. Be seen and not heard. fly under the radar. Because if you get too much attention, they're going to shoot you down. Right? How many heard this before? Fly under the radar, man. Stay low, man. Don't let anybody see me. You making moves. Don't make moves, man. Don't make moves. And then everybody wonders, why can't I get above? Because you don't get attention. Strangers have everything you want. Everything you want, a stranger has it. It will be strangers that will grow your business. It will be strangers that put your kids through schools. It will be strangers that make your dreams a reality. Strangers have everything you want, but you were taught not to talk to them.
We can't afford that. How many of you told your kids that before? We can't do that bike. We can't buy the bike, right? You told your kids that because you were told that, right? We don't tell our kids that. How many of you were told as kids, be careful? That's why you guys think so much. You got Dave Ramsey on TV saying, total freedom comes from not having debt. Okay, you flip channels and you go to Susie, you can't afford that. Okay, I'm gonna tell you, do you can afford anything? No. Hey, debt's not your problem, okay? I probably got $500 million worth of debt today. $500 million. I wish it was $5 billion. I
had to get over drugs. Went to a treatment center, spent 28 days in a treatment center. When I was 25, my mom, my brother, my sister all gave up on me. Like, they're like, enough. That's how bad of trouble I was in. I was using drugs every 45 minutes. I wasn't using drugs once or twice a day. I was using once or twice an hour. Whatever you're not gonna do at a business meeting, you probably shouldn't be doing, period. So I had to clean up. I had to clean up my deal, man. 28 days, first 28 days of my life in 7 years that I didn't use drugs. I was like, shit, man, what am I gonna do now? My fear wasn't using drugs again. My fear was, what am I gonna do with all my time? So when you see me run right now, I'm running from one thing to the next thing, I'm trying to stay busy. Because as long as I stay busy, I don't get in trouble. By the way, I'm the guy that couldn't pay his rent. $275 a month in rent, and I couldn't pay it most of the time. 25, I recommitted to my education, but this time I started studying not things that were in books, but people that had actually created wealth. Not people that had made money, but people that had created wealth. This is completely different. I was no longer studying accounting and economics. I was studying wealthy people, and only wealthy people. I'm not talking about the doctor that was a neighbor that makes $1 million a year and he's working 18 hours a day and he hates his job, right? He's working 7 days a week. He can't ever spend time with his family. I'm talking about the yacht people. I'm talking about the people that are spending as much time as they want on vacation. I'm talking about the car dealer that had 28 car dealerships or 82 car dealerships. That has indisposable money. I'm talking about the Walton money. I'm talking about the Waltons last week increased their net worth by $11 billion. And they haven't worked for 30 years. That's the kind of wealth I started studying. I started reading Barron's in the Wall Street Journal. And I quickly realized something, that the wealthy people had financial freedom and no one else did, okay? A very small percentage of people. Lots of people have money. My uncle had millions of dollars. He was terrified about his money, wouldn't spend it, acted like a miser, buried money in the backyard. I realized my parents had it wrong, the information I had that was wrong, and this is the number one thing I want you to get out of tonight. The information you have is wrong. The wealthy talk differently than the middle class. I watched my mom and my dad. I started comparing the wealthy people to what my dad did. My dad worked every day of the week. If he wasn't working at the office, he was working in the yard. They saved money. They cut their own grass, okay? We ate all our food. We turned the lights off. We didn't waste anything. And that was uncertainty, it was insecurity, and it was fear. And it perpetuated uncertainty, insecurity, and fear. And all the lessons about money. Money doesn't grow on trees. A penny saved is a penny earned. Eat all your food. People are starving, okay? Money, you don't waste it, don't play with it. All that creates insecurity and it's incorrect. If you want things to change, they can change. And they're not gonna change just because you pray, just because you wish, just because you hope. And they won't change just because your family wants it to change. It did not change until I started getting information.
And if you're taking notes today, it didn't start changing until I started getting rid of information. One of the most important things that happened to me in my life was to get rid of information. A man told me once, he's like, hey, look, man, if things aren't going well, somebody or something is causing it not to go well. How many agree with that statement? Okay. Things aren't going well, something or someone is causing things not to go well.
Different game today, folks. Different game, man. Everything's changing. Remember when you waited for a taxi cab? Remember that? When was that? How many people on this planet complained about having to wait on a dirty cab? Millions and millions and millions of people said, oh my gosh, hey man, let's just send it to them. If you can close the distance between an idea and money, okay, you'll get rich.
When I was a kid, when I was growing up, the guy that knew how to take care of his environment was my dad. I was 8 years old, and man, this dude controlled everything in this environment. And he left early for work, he came home late. Took care of his family. You knew, he never gave anybody a lecture about what to do. He was a good example. And he had the money and he made the money. We were middle class family, so we were like little red brick house, white brick house. About 1,400 square feet, 7 people lived in it. And my dad, I could tell my dad was trying to get somewhere. He was trying to move us up. He was trying, and he wasn't trying to brag. He was trying to take care of. And so I was watching that, right? And I watched where this guy, he's the one that made the decision where we went, how long we stayed. And I started associating that the money maker makes the rules. This is what Elena was talking about. You know, there's around the money, I make the rules around the money. Around other things, Elena makes the rules. So you got to know what you're good at, what your job is, and what your role is. My dad and my mom knew their roles. Problem with that is when my dad died suddenly at 52 years old, my mom was left to do something she was not skilled up to do. And I was 10, and I didn't know how to help my mom. And my dad left a little bit of insurance money from the life insurance, or the death insurance. Better, it's really called death insurance. Just can't sell it if they call it that. And my mom didn't know how long that money would last. So immediately after my dad died, when my mom should have been in grief, she went immediately into massive fear. And I could see it. I could sense it as a 10-year-old. My mom was in fear every day. Clipping coupons, saving money, you know, turn the lights off, eat all your food. It was constant messages. Go across town to get gas. Like everything. You can't buy strawberries today. You know, they'll be 20 cents cheaper tomorrow. Everything was about fear. And so I couldn't do anything about it, or didn't think I could do anything about it. And I just kept telling myself, one day I'm gonna be in a position to change this. And I think that really drives me today to like take care of people, not be in that situation again.
My buddy Dummy right here, never moves. You can come hit on him as much as you want, slap him. Reminds me of the first like 25 years of my life. This was me right here. I just take it, never moved, but I look good. Wouldn't read, just a damn dummy.
There's this old thing about people read 60 books. I could take one book and read it 60 times. If it's a good book, I don't abandon that book for a second book. I'm like, I'm gonna dig in now.
The shipping on the books. I get an idea for a real estate book. Oh, I should do a real estate book. Everybody's asking me every day, do a real estate book. Oh, I'm gonna write a book. We write a book on real estate. Do I sell the book or do I give the book away for free? Why don't we do both? Let's see who wants to give me $25 in shipping, and let's see who wants to get it for free in shipping. We did almost 80,000 books in 6 weeks. That's the most books I've ever done. Right? The whole process took 30 days. Idea, monetize. We made money on the book before I had the book in print. I got an idea right here. Everybody in the room's got ideas. Everybody agree? The problem is they don't get the money fast enough. The shorter the runway between the idea and money, the more successful the business is gonna be.
My first book had over 600 grammatical errors. Run-on sentences, prepositions in the wrong place, exclamation marks, colons where there should have been semicolons. I had people like, dude, this book's got misspellings on every page. I'm like, it's a best-selling book. You know the guy that told me that? Never wrote a book. He's so busy reading books and not doing anything. By the way, how many books have you not written?
You don't have more money, folks, because it's not because you don't work. It's not because you're not a good person. It's not because you overspend. It's not because you got too much debt. It's not because you don't bust your ass. It's because your money doesn't bust its ass. Your money is lazy. If your money was employees, you would fire your money. Here's the rules, okay? Number one, the money, the extra money should go into something that gives you money. You want your money to have babies. The golden goose is no longer good if she doesn't have eggs. The only thing that makes the golden goose valuable is the fact that the golden goose lays eggs. So if you just study the wealthiest families in the world, not just in America, in the world over long periods of time, look at the Queen of England. This much property and one of the richest families in the world. Why? They get cash flow every month from India, from England, from Ireland, from all over the world. Why are the princes in Saudi Arabia so wealthy? Because they have constant inflow of money coming from the land that produces the oil. The oil comes out of the land and produces cash flow. The railroads back in the day, what did they do? They got all this land together and then they rented that land out to everybody around it. Why do all the teachers' credit unions take all the money from all the teachers around America and then they start investing in real estate that produces cash flow so they can distribute back to their members? I'm always going to come back to this one story. Look, real assets that produce real cash flow every month. When it pays you every month and you're getting reminded every month, I got a check. I got a little $100 check. I got a $200 check this month. I got a $13,000 check today from one of my properties. Every month I get a check for 13 grand from that property. That's $150,000 a year. It didn't start like that. It used to be like $1,300 bucks. $1,300. Then it was 26. Then it was 5,000. Next thing you know, it's 13 grand. That's one property. Pays me every month. Property just sits there. Okay, it just sits there. It might not even change in value. It just sits there and produces cash flow. Anything that produces cash flow will be worth more money tomorrow. That's why Netflix is valuable. Why? Because people pay a lot of cash into Netflix. And even if Netflix loses money today, some company will find Netflix desirable for one reason. Cash flow is king.
Well, you start getting all, oh, God damn, dude. Look. This is stupid. These cars that you're seeing people buy, I think 50 Cent got six of them for Christmas or something. I got my wife a Cullinan and I got myself this. This is ridiculous. You don't need to go out and buy these cars, okay? This is, without a doubt, complete waste of money. And unlike some of the people that are out buying them, because there's a lot of young kids right now thinking, oh, I'm going to go buy a Lambo. I'm going to get a Ferrari. I'm going to go buy me a Rolls. I watched a 24-year-old kid buy a Rolls Royce. I'm like, man, that don't even look good on you, even if you can't afford it. What you see right here is completely ridiculous, but years, 35 years of hard work. Not just hard work, but making good decisions and putting the money away. Putting the money away and not doing this kind of stuff. Put all this stuff off. Don't do this right now, okay? Pay the price right now. Work hard, get great at your job, get great at whatever you do. So good that people are like, man, you're the best. Well, who are you? What do you want? They start asking questions about, wow, what makes you so unique? Then you're gonna start getting paid more. There's no way on this planet that if people start talking about how exceptional you are, you will get paid more at some point. When you do, take that money and invest it in something where you can't lose it, where it pays you every month, and one day in the future, it'll be worth more than it is today. Do that for years. It might take 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. I'm just starting to enjoy my life. A lot of hard work, man.
You can't stay connected to the why. I don't mean why am I doing this, but you got to dig down the why behind the why behind the why, right? Why do I want to lose weight? Why do I want to be in better shape? Why? Well, because it's going to make me healthy. But why do you want to be healthy? Why did I start investing in real estate? And by the way, why did I start making more money so I could have more money to invest in real estate? Why do you want to make more money so you can have more money to invest in real estate? Why? Oh, because I want to spend more time with my kids, man. Because I want to be on a vacation with my kids and not worry about what we're doing. I want to be able to go to sleep or go travel or do whatever I want. And I got money coming in. And I want to be able to take care of my parents and my church and my charity. I want to take care of stuff after I die. That's why I invest in real estate. No more drinking, no more drugging, no more weekends until I get my money right. Just like job, sales. Second thing I would do is this. I would invest my extra time, not my money, my extra time, I would invest learning about real estate. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. If I would have been doing this at 20 years old, I'd be worth over $1 billion today. Mm-hmm. All I had to do was focus different. What I did was I got caught up in this first job and I started thinking about how good I was doing. One day looked up, I was 33 years old yeah. actually, and my uncle says, you need to start paying attention to your money, to money working. He said it to me one time, man. One piece of advice I got from my uncle. He's like, you need to start paying attention. You need to get your money working. I'm like, yeah, okay, thanks. You need to hate your life. You guys don't need to like, I'm good. I'm all happy. I'm good. I'm living the dream. You need to get so disgusted. I told you mm-hmm. this 8 years ago. Get so disgusted with your life. Get so freaking, like you hate your life so much that where you go every day is a solution to getting the life you want. People keep asking me, dude, how do you keep your freaking mojo going? Like, it's like you got more energy. I said, well, it's a beautiful having a beautiful wife.
Thank you, handsome. Dude,
women.
Let's just call a spade a spade.
Women are the yep. super. Motivators of the universe. This is my muse right here.
Oh, God, I love you.
In addition
you.
To the muse, though.
Okay.
It's a new me this year, folks.
Really?
In addition to the muse, you guys got to have a pull. You need to have a pull. You're like, man, how do you guys stay so motivated? It's the pull. It's not the push. Jordan wins a ring and he's like, okay, now what? Everybody else is out, you know, drinking champagne. But the true champions are like, what's the next thing?
What's the next move? What do we do next? Like they need the next thing to keep them going.
But when am I ever going to be satisfied? You need a pull.
You're never going to be satisfied.
And if you are, by the way, if you are satisfied, you quit. The speed at which you commit determines your velocity. How fast I can commit to something will determine how fast I can move into that thing and how much power I have, okay? The speed at which you commit, the longer you take to commit to something, the less impact it's gonna have on your community, on yourself, on your life, on your money, your finances. I don't care if it's rehabbing your kitchen, buying a house, and making an investment in real estate, the speed at which you can commit.
Dude, I want to collaborate with people. I don't want to compete anymore. I'm done with the competition shit. So when you hear all that thing,
I think of me, you, everybody I know, that teaches
when,
business.
When you hear all that early sales stuff from me, I was in such a competition mode. I was competing with everybody. I thought it was me against everybody. And really, it's just been since we did that first growth conference. Mm-hmm. And we had other people on stage, and I didn't do any of the speaking.
Yeah,
I was just introducing people, doing interviews, and walking, doing Q&A's.
Fireside chats.
Even the second one. Even Russell Brunson says, "Dude, why are you giving up all your stage time to other people? Because I want to collaborate."
Yeah.
But then we figured that the other people don't really know how to do it yet. Like, they're like, "Hey, follow my Instagram." I'm like, "That's not a collaboration. We don't care about your Instagram." When I took spent $6 million trying to get 30,000 people in a room.
Yeah.
Right now we care about where is everybody going for the next, through next year and 2020.
Your surroundings have to change, okay? The people, your network, your scenery. You will not change your life until
You change the people in your life.
My daddy abandoned me. My sister's not gonna like hearing that because she's gonna be like, oh my God, he was good to you. He died. He left me too soon. Period. Call it whatever you want, okay? He left me too soon. He left my brother too soon. Okay, me and my brother, we went out of dad, man. Tremendous amount of energy. Same kind of like just imagine me as a 10-year-old in Louisiana with a weapon. Right? I'm 10 years old. We had a 22 rifle. I'm out shooting everything that moves. Cars. Anything and everything. I'm wild, man. I'm wild. I got all this energy and I don't have a dad and I'm angry. I told my mom when I was 16 years old, one day I'm going to be successful. One day I'm going to be successful and one day I'm going to help a lot of people. And I said that to her because I wanted somebody to help me. See, I've always loved helping people. Always. I am most happy when I'm helping someone else. Nothing to do with money. If I can help somebody, not give them something, but if I can actually help somebody to feel better about themselves, to know what to do in a phone call, to know what to do in a sales call, to know how to follow up their girlfriend or their boyfriend, or to solve some problem in their life, or how to get some money. If I can help somebody know how to do that, I know I contributed to their life. Sabrina can't set the right goals right now. Everybody agree with that? Sabrina can't, she can't pick up 200 pounds. You understand? She can fly on a jet. One of my kids has never been on a commercial airline. She's like, Papa, will I ever get to fly commercial? I hope not. I hope you never have to go through that. It's wrong. I did 3 million miles, so you don't have to. Peanuts I didn't want. And I was doing that on Thanksgiving holidays to go to Canada where they were still transacting business. Super Bowls I've missed. Ball games I've missed. My buddies were traveling, seeing the world, and I didn't have any of those experiences. It's been 30 years. It's probably gonna be 30 years for you too. It's gonna be 30 years of it. Are you willing to pay the price? If anybody thinks you're gonna be successful without paying that price, you're wrong.
Earn money. Learn how to store the money and learn how to use it. Because if you can't do this, if you can't flow the money back out, if you're sitting on a grand right now or 2 grand or 5 grand, make it official that you're broke. Do not try to save 5 grand. It's no money. Just make it official. Get rid of it and be broke. Because you're broke already. And maybe you'll hustle now like you need to replace your reserves. That's why when I earn some money, I store it, okay? If I store $30 million, I know I'm getting rid of it. Twice a year, I dump everything I have. Every penny I have does not go into some emergency account. It goes into an asset that will make babies or make me known. And you guys can do this. Everybody in the room can do this, okay? If I can do this, you guys can do this.
You need a network, a team of people around you that can hold you accountable. You will go nowhere by yourself. Not even Jesus went by himself. Nobody goes by themselves. Nobody. All right? You have more potential. You know it. If that's the answer to that, get there. Be VIP while you're there too, by the way. VIP. Have a VIP experience. If you can't VIP yourself, why do you think somebody else is going to treat you like a VIP?
I don't know where I am most of the time. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is. I just know, hey, I got this moment, man, right here. Let's make the most of this moment. I don't know if I live once or twice. Okay, I know this. I need to take advantage of what I have right now, and I can't do that by myself. I don't want to be by myself. We don't want to just be the four of us. I don't want to just be me, Elena, Sabrina, and Scarlett. I want a nation. I don't want a tribe. I don't want a tribe. I want friends all over the world. I want Sabrina and Scarlett when they grow up and they go to Switzerland. They have friends in Switzerland, okay? If the world falls apart, we have friends in Oklahoma or in Central, or maybe I got to go to South America for a while. Maybe I got to go hang out, okay? I will not fulfill my mission. My mission is to help people. I will be known for the people I help, not the money I made. Nobody's going to remember. Nobody's going to say 50 years from now, 100 years from now, oh, Grant Cardone had a great jet. Nobody will ever mention that. My books might live on, okay? My audio will guarantee you my audio will live long after I'm dead. But your memories with me, you using our technologies, okay, will live on forever. You live on through other people. Walt Disney did it. He lives on today, man, okay? Build a legacy, folks. Build a legacy. Put yourself out there, okay? 10X your lives. 10X the lives of the people around you.
Getting ready to do a real estate conference for 1,000 experienced and mature real estate investors. If you knew what I was going to share with them, the one biggest, most important number in all of real estate investing, there's one thing. If you read my book, you know what it is. I'm going to share it with them today, and it's going to blow the top off their heads. There's some people in the room that are retired from apartment investing, and they're going to, I guarantee you, when I'm done today, they're going to be like, honey, what was we thinking getting out of this game? We got to get back in it. We did it wrong because we did it small. Ooh. Hey, if you're not investing in apartments, seriously, if you're not investing in apartments, if you don't know the game, had to learn the game, figure the game out. I promise you, with every fiber of my being, I believe that apartment investing will prove to be, over the next 25 years, the single best investment that you can make, that you can possibly make.
If your life is not the way it should be, then you should hate yourself right now. I don't blame you. You should. The best way, but dude, I hated my before I loved my I hated myself so bad I couldn't look in the mirror. Jared told me the other day, he's like, you don't have a mirror in your bathroom. I can bring you in there right now. Sure, there's no mirror in there. Check this out. I said, dude, I don't need a mirror. I remember, you know what, that bathroom, I remember having an apartment where I couldn't put a mirror on the wall. Broke it. I broke the mirror. Look at that. Right there. There ain't no mirror there. I told Jared yesterday. I said, dude, I don't have a mirror. I said, I don't care. I don't need to look at myself. I remember when I look at myself and I hated myself. Broke the mirror out of my bathroom because I couldn't look at my face. Because the mirror reminded me every time I had a mirror, I was putting something on it to put it in my face. Hated myself, man. Hated myself. Didn't have any money. Had all this potential. Overdosing daily. Guys, one man, you want to change? You got a bunch of potential? Tell yourself the truth. Okay? Do you have more potential than you're using? Ask yourself right now. Just ask yourself. Just meditate on this a second. Do I have more potential than I'm using? Do you guys should ask yourself that shit every morning when you wake up. Man, what do you say to yourself in the morning? First thing I do in the morning, I wake up and say, do I have more potential? Thank you, Alex. Do I have more potential than I'm using? Dude, if I do, if it's even this much, then I gotta get the fuck up and go get it. This is where God lives. Dude, this is the spiritual part of life, is the seeking of potential, not the seeking of serenity and happiness. Serenity and happiness are f***ing selfish commodities. It's about me, man. For me to seek my potential, the next level, means I got to give up what I have. That's where God lives, man. God's proud of Grant Cardone. You know what? A bunch of humans don't like Grant. God loves Grant.
Yo.
You know what? Because God's like, dude, that guy, he will put it out there. You guys all praying? You know what my prayer is? My prayer is not talking to God. My prayer is taking action.
I've been busted, broke, beat up. I've been at a point in my life where I thought less of me than anyone thought of me. How many have been there? Dude, how do I get the right girl, the right family, the right money, the right company, the right employees? I don't even like me. I'm like, what happened to me, man? What happened? I had more money when I was 8 than when I was 25. What the hell happened? I liked myself more when I was 6 years old than I was 25 years old. What happened to me? Now, if you look at me today, 6 years old and 57, dude, I'm kind of digging myself right now. I like who I am, man. I've spent the last years just doing one thing, dude, working on who I am. Number one, most important thing, Warren Buffett says, and I study a lot of people, okay? This year, I'll probably spend this year between mentors, which really my mentor is just a guy that's a hookup. He's hooking me up with other players. Between mentors, I don't even think I say the word right, books,
courses. I'll go off for 3 weeks and just do a course. You guys worry about a weekend. I can't get away for a weekend. Dude, I'll go for 3 weeks and just do courses. I'll probably spend 400 grand this year on me. I'm worth it, man. How am I not worth 400 grand? Look, you worried about 400 grand. How are you going to get 400 million? See, you and I were brought up to worry about what? This, what's in your pocket. Right? I mean, I used to squeeze a quarter so hard it'd fly and scream. Look, everybody worries about this, right? But whose money is this? Somebody else's money, man. This ain't my money.
I've already got a workout in, spent time with my kids, did a project at my office because we're doing some construction there, on my way to an event, and then we'll leave there, go to another event in another city, about 2,000 miles away. All in the name of business. That's what I say, my brothers, my sisters, my nephews, and my nieces. All business, all weekend.
You know, I don't think people get out enough. The best things that have happened to me in my life was when I left my room, my house, even the city that I lived in. And I think we stay home too much. Guys, get out. Ladies, leave your house. Get out. Okay, go out into the world and see what's there. Even get up early to do it. Again, the best things that have happened to me in my life happened outside my house. 29 years old, left the house, moved to Houston. I was terrified. I know somebody think, oh man, Grant ain't scared of nothing. I was so scared to move out of Lake Charles. It was like one of the most terrifying things I've ever done in my life. Once I got there, I was like, I don't even know what I was scared about. I lived there for, five years maybe. Then I moved to La Jolla, California. Didn't know one person there. Had the life, man. I had the life in La Jolla. I mean, it was unbelievable. Actually went there with a person, a girlfriend. Me and a girlfriend moved there. I moved there. She left about a year later, maybe 2 years later. I had the single man's life, if you know what I mean, in La Jolla. I had it made. I was loving life. And then I reached a point to where I'm like, I need to grow up now. I want a wife and I want kids. I'm on Grant Street. Look at that. I want a wife and kids. And I knew that that person was not in La Jolla. I'm talking to you about moving. I'm talking to you about getting outside. I'm talking to you about leave, man. Why have you been in one spot so long? Or maybe one spot you've been in for 10 years now. You've moved once, okay? I left La Jolla and moved to Los Angeles, California. Just so you guys know, nobody goes from La Jolla. How you doing, sir? Nobody moves from La Jolla and goes to L.A. People go from L.A. to La Jolla. Have a great day, huh? And say again. Oh, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. The guy's on my book. Now you see, how would I meet that customer if I hadn't left the house this morning, the hotel? How would I do that? That's crazy, dude. Gotta get out. Went to LA, lived in LA for, I don't know, 12 years. Had it made in LA, had this unbelievable house, Lionel Richie's. I'm bragging. Don't get me wrong. I lived in Lionel Richie's house. Lionel wasn't there anymore, so it's my house now. I lived there and all the parties were at my house. It was 3/4 acre flat lot in the hills above the Sunset Strip. Doheny Drive and Oriole, spectacular place. We had our first two kids, we had our two kids there in the house. All our friends had been there. We got married in that house. I mean, we were so connected to that house. It was unbelievable. Elena and I, when we first saw the house, it was 4 times my budget. And I'm like, we're buying that house. And you guys know how much I believe that, how much I am against buying houses. We fell so in love in that house, in love with each other, in love with the house, in love with our kids there, in love with friends and parties and memories and decorations and antique furniture. We love that house. And then it reached a time where I'm like, I think we got to leave what we love. We were so comfortable there. Sure enough, 5 years ago, I got up and moved to Miami. We've been in Miami 5 years now. We travel all over the world. We're constantly moving.
My daddy told me, Dr. Kerr, our local doctor, he was the most successful doctor we knew both the most successful doctors, Dr. Kerr and Dr. Morin, right? And Dr. Kerr was at the house in there drinking martinis. I'm like, damn, I'm gonna do that too. I'm gonna drink martinis, I'm gonna be James Bond, right? And Dr. Kerr came up to me and says, give me a dollar. I had a dollar too. He's like, give me that dollar. I'm like, I ain't giving you a dollar. My daddy said, never deny a man in power. Never deny a man in power, okay? Never talk poorly about somebody in power. Push power to power. That's a good investment, folks, okay? If you're taking notes, write this down. Push power to power. People that are doing good things, people that are making a difference, people that are out there, push power to power and ignore everyone else. We don't help people that have nothing. I'm telling you right now, I do not help people that have nothing. I help people that have something and want to make it more. I'm not talking about money right now. If somebody thinks they have nothing, I'm not helping that person. If they think they have nothing, I can't help them. If you think you have something and that you're not broke, I can help you.
If I take these people right here, what do these people spend money on and what do these people spend money on? Remember, rich is waiting to be poor, or it's waiting to get wealthy, but it ain't wealthy yet. What do the poor people, y'all want to do poor or rich first?
Let's do poor.
Let's do the poor people. Poor people spend money on, just give me anything. What's something?
Watches.
Okay, yeah, good, a watch. I gotta have a Technomarine. That's what I used to call it.
Gucci.
I gotta have me some fake Gucci. It's not even real Gucci. It's Gucci from the Kana. Okay. Oh, my big goal in life is to buy a house. This guy's stuck in this too. I'm gonna buy a house one day. I'm gonna be a prisoner. The warden and the prisoner.
My castle.
Okay. It's the castle.
Bodies.
Trips, right? Trips, yeah. Pleasure. Okay. VIP. This is my boy Alan. VIP and bottles, bottle service.
Cars.
Right? Cars. Okay, cars. Belts. Okay, let me see my belt today. I got my belt, dog. Woo-hoo! What did I spend on this belt?
Is that $40?
$29, man. $29. Yeah. Shit. Okay. Watch alert. My self-esteem's good today. I left it in the box. Now, what do these people buy? What do these people invest money on? Networking. These people are heavy on who they know, man. Okay. Charity. Why charity? Because charity is networking. Who's at a charity event? People that are charitable. If you didn't spend any time in charity events last year, I guarantee you got a money problem. This is connections, okay? These are networking and connections. The first thing the rich people spend their money on is connections. Wealthy people spend their time with wealthy people. We've heard that over and over and over again, okay? Investments. These people invest money. They don't spend money. These are spenders over here, right? I'm gonna buy a watch. It's going to be worth a lot of money one day. Dude, it ain't going to be worth any money. To who? Oh, my God, man. I'm going to buy a Patek, and I'm going to keep it for like 3 generations. And one day, when? You're dead, man. Okay? They invest in businesses. They buy franchises. We have people that buy a Grant Cardone license. Those are people that have a wealthy mentality. Why do they want to buy a Grant Cardone license? Because they can use my name, my trademarks, my products, and go to Thailand and make money on my name without me going to Thailand. Marketing. These people spend money on marketing. You know, I'm convinced
that Donald Trump did not have a plane before he was the president because he needed to travel places. I'm convinced Donald Trump had a plane so he could park it at LaGuardia and advertise that he's a rich dude.
People see his name.
People see his name. He left it right there at LaGuardia Airport. He didn't put it at a private airport. He put it at LaGuardia so that every passenger that leaves New York out of LaGuardia would see his big bird. What are you spending your money on in 2019? Human beings are trapped in, as spiritual beings, they're trapped. This is what I believe. I believe the spiritual being is trapped in a body. Okay? I believe I'm a spiritual being, not a human being. The spiritual being would have tremendous potential, unbelievable potential. It would be the light on the candle, not the candle. The body would be the candle, okay? And the spiritual being would be the flame. I'm the flame. And I wanna see how hot can I burn? Okay, how far can I go? How much light can I bring the world? How much positive truth message can I bring this planet? How much more can I do? And I think the problem is people are settling out with just enough. Pay the bills, take care of my family, get my little box, get my little house, put my little welcome mat on the front, put the little gate around the yard. We're all gonna be happy. I don't want the box. I don't want one location. I don't need the welcome mat. I want to know the world. I want to travel the world. I want to do more. I want to be in more places. I want to have friends in every country. I want to inspire people in every language. And I want other people to see and they can do the same thing, you know? And maybe at the end of all this, I just become everybody's uncle that I never had.
If you're a business owner, you have to see the future. If you're an entrepreneur, you have to look forward into the future. What's going to happen next? If you're driving a car, it's responsible to look ahead. Everybody agree? If you're skiing down a mountain, you might want to keep your attention out in front of you. If you're riding a motorcycle, you might want to not pay attention to right where you are, but where you're going. Pay attention to the future. What dreams and goals do you have that are more important than the money you have? Invest money to hit your targets. Quit telling yourselves lies about money. Exchange money. The only purpose of money is to exchange money for time and connections. The only reason you have money is to exchange money for time and people. You need people, folks. You need people, man. You're going to grow your business with people, people that work for you and people that you sell products to. Be so obsessed with the idea of freedom and making a difference that you will do anything, anything. I'll go into debt, I'll spend my last dollar. This is how you're gonna be successful, folks. I'll borrow money from my mom, I'll borrow from my dad, I'll borrow from family members. I'll go raise money, I'll go beg on a street corner, I'll go sell t-shirts and hats. Failure after failure. I'm obsessed so much with my freedom that I'm willing to talk to people even if I'm an introvert. Okay, I'm willing to go talk to old people if I'm young. I'm willing to go talk to young people if I'm old. I'm willing, if I'm out of work, I'm willing to go take a dumb sales job just to get my feet back underneath me. Become so obsessed that everybody's like, what's wrong with you, man? You change it. You gotta change your friends. Whoa, if your friends, you need to make these people your friends. People that have time to get away. People that are working. People that are creating. Surround yourself with people that are doing things. That are seeking to be better. I was hanging around people that were destroying themselves every day. People that were criticizing others that were successful. That were wasting time. Beautiful rock. They weren't looking for anything. Except how everybody else was wrong, how they had been wronged. I know because I was doing this. Spent all my time talking about how the rich guy that was had his kids in tennis classes and golf classes, and they had a boat and they went skiing, how he was such a prick. And when reality, oops, sorry guys, didn't mean you to hear that. When in reality, she didn't hear that. When in reality, I should have been looking at, dude, what did this guy do to create a situation
where he could pay for his kids to learn tennis, if they want to, golf, and skiing. I was asking the wrong questions. I would tell my 20-year-old self, change the questions you're asking. Change the way you look at things. Quit being so resentful and hateful.
My business is kind of different. I own a hair salon, and I have started a brand for myself and probably went about it the wrong way. I started it doing booth rental instead of commission. And in the business, I'm kind of maxed out at making as much as I can make for the size. So I know I need to expand, but I also know that I have to be taken serious as a woman. And I feel like it's a difficult thing to do. And I don't want to do it the wrong way this time. So I don't really know how to be taken seriously. I'm petite, I have blonde hair, I always have crazy fingernails, or sometimes it's purple, sometimes it's blue.
Yeah.
So I guess the question would be, where do I go from where I'm at?
Dude, get a lot of attention. I think you just got to get a lot of attention. You know, everything, the red, the blue, the long nails, the short nails, anything that gets attention. Like, you have to get people's attention. You guys have to get interesting. So, again, she doesn't like some of the things I do. I have to do that. I believe in my mind I have to do some of that to capture attention. Whether that's true or not true, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's not true. You know, I know this. If somebody wants to have a movie and it wants to be a great movie at the theaters, they got to get a lot of attention to get somebody to go to the movie. You got to be willing to get people not to like you.
And what does that look like?
You have
though?
To be willing
like just
to,
by promoting so much that you irritate people. Like, what does it mean to get people not to like you?
Rush Limbaugh, who's a pretty divisive guy, says, you know, the people that love him listen to him 2 hours a day, and the people that hate him listen to him for 4 hours. People that hate him listen to him for 4 hours a day. So I'm just saying, everybody wants to be liked. Yeah, everybody wants to be the popular person. You guys got to be willing to tell people your hair looks terrible.
Oh, I mean, I do. I'm actually very, very good at my job. I just don't know how to take it to the next level, I guess. Maybe I'm scared, or I have money saved.
What's your website? What's your Facebook?
And
right,
it would
right there.
Nope, the one underneath that.
See, I don't have a picture of you. So I'm gonna go. Is that you?
Yes.
Or is that your kids?
There's a picture of me, and then it's my daughter.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to see your daughter right now. I want to see you, right?
I have a hair therapy page. It's under hair therapy.
Yeah. I see hair therapy. I see it right here. Mm-hmm. So like, right, okay, now we got the dogs.
Yeah.
But now, she's a veterinarian.
Right.
So, like, okay, now I got hair. Okay, that's good. Before and after round. Like you guys got to like get clear on what the message is, right? She needs you need a business page.
Right.
The trick is you got to get attention. Elena just wrote a book called Build an Empire, okay? She has to get attention for the book, which means leak out data about the book. Not about anything else, but that book. What is it? What chapter? What audio? What am I listening to? Why am I listening to it? What do I get out of it? Like constant pushing into whatever you do with hair therapy.
Okay.
And see, good, but dinner date. But what do I do with the dinner date?
Yeah.
See, like you, this is where everybody's like, when's enough enough, man? When do you just enjoy yourself? I don't know. I'm going to enjoy myself when I'm in a position to just enjoy myself. You live on an economic planet, regardless of your race, regardless of where you came from, regardless of your religion. You live on a planet that has two things on it, gravity. I can't fly, and I'm reminded every day of gravity, right or wrong. Every day, I'm reminded. I'm reminded of it so much, I don't even know that it's not normal that I shouldn't be able to jump 7 feet. Right? And number two, money. Every day, you are reminded this is a financial planet, okay? I got a little credit card. I don't have any cash on me today, none, because I'm a real estate guy. Real estate guys are always broke. Okay, but I got me a little card. I can use this to open boxes, and I can use it to buy a box, right? See, how many were told all credit cards are bad? How many have been told debt is bad? How many have been trained that? Oh, all debt is bad debt. I got about $500 million worth of debt. I got to tell you, I love it almost as much as my wife and kids. I do love it, man, because it generates income for me. Now, I'm telling you all this to tell you, look, you have been miseducated. If you're having trouble with money, it is because you have the wrong data. It's not because you're stupid. It's not because you're lazy. It's not because you have a bad job. Okay, I've had all those excuses. You have the wrong information. The first 25 years of my life, I used the information that is being disseminated by TV and mass media. Save your money. Say yay if you heard that one. Yay. Okay, you were brought up on that one. If you were brought up poor middle class, say yay. Yay. No, no, you can't say it like that. Say it like you're proud. Yes, I was poor. Say yay. Yay. No, no, were you brought up poor middle class? I'm gonna tell you something, it's gonna take you forever if you don't get your freaking enthusiasm right. Look, if you're poor, admit it. But damn, I'm poor, and then hate it, because you shouldn't be. If you're in the middle, by the way, if you're middle class and you got three meals a day, you got a car out there you can make the payments on, you got a little education that you think is worth something and it's not, okay? And you got a good mom and a good dad, and you were brought up in a good family, good for you, but dude, that don't pay the bills.
You ever ask yourself, dude, when are you gonna make it? Do you ever suffer from this idea that you could do more than you're doing? And no matter how much people around you love you or, oh, you're doing great, pat you on the back, you're doing phenomenal, amazing. I've been told my whole life I was doing amazing. I was 29 years old, I was the leading salesperson where I worked. I mean, I wasn't the best salesperson. I was the best salesperson by like three or four people. Breaking records, doing stuff that had never been done. Everybody's telling me how great I was, and I was like, but I know I can do more. I don't know if that's suffering, some kind of like mental disease, some kind of never satisfied with. I've heard all these people talk about, I remember the guy said, hey, your disappointments in life are equal to your expectations. Suggesting that you not have expectations. And if you lower your expectations, then you won't have disappointments. I gotta tell you, man, I mean, I can't even make sense of that. I'm like, I have to have expectations of myself. I know I can do better. I know I can do more. So, if me having big expectations of myself, and I'm gonna be disappointed from time to time, that's the way it's gotta be. The one other thing that I would tell my 20-year-old self, look, I own 7 businesses. And I would not tell you, I would not tell the 20-year-old Grant to go get six businesses. I would tell him to learn everything he can about real estate. Everything. Real estate is the business that's allowed me to go on these magnificent trips that I'm taking my family on. I've been in business for myself for 30 years. Okay? Six businesses combined do not allow me to go on these trips. It is the real estate by and of itself that's allowed me to take my wife and kids, employees, partners, friends on these magnificent trips. When you're hating on somebody in your same space, right? Or they're hating on you, remember this. You keep focused on creating massive, massive success. Okay, because when you get up to the top of the food chain, whatever the food chain is in your space, whether it's financial or insurance or real estate or influencers or podcasters, or maybe you're doing a real business. You're not an influencer and you're not a podcaster. You're like, dude, why are all these guys spending all this time doing podcasts? I got a business to grow. I got employees. Maybe you're doing that. So, what's my point? Anytime you watch any of my videos, you say, dude, what's the guy really talking about? I'm doing this for you. I don't get paid to do it. So if you're getting any value out of this, I'm telling you, when you get up the food chain, and you will because you're watching me, you will get up the food chain. You will become a super successful person, but you won't if you hate. You will not become super successful if you take the time to worry about these other people in your space. Flow and power, man. Love on them. Send them love, send them customers, send them deals. But don't be surprised when they don't send it back.
because they're not. No book tells you this. All these guys doing their little quotes, talking about abundancy, scarcity, but watch how they act when you get up there, man. Watch it, man. It's going to be crazy. You're going to be like, Cardone told me. While I was eating snow, the dude told me that they were going to hate on me. I had somebody call me the other day and said, hey, dude, I want to give you some, you need to know how to handle some of these situations you're running up against, okay? Because there's a way for you to prevent some of this, these people hating on you. I said, dude, I'm not going to try to prevent somebody from being stupid. That's just dumb. I got enough insurance in my life already. Most of the time, the accident never happens. The way to ensure that these haters and criticizers and little thinkers don't bother you is don't be them, number one. Number two, keep flowing them love and power, baby. Number three, get to the top. Get to the top of the food chain where everybody at the top knows you. And the people that wouldn't flow you on the way up, I wish they didn't do what they did.
Who saw the fight last night? Just goes to show you, man, you can't take 8 months off. 8 months of drinking and showing off and bragging and running your mouth. You can still get cracked. You got it, you know, huh? Yeah, too many days off, man, too many days off. You got to pay the price every day, folks, otherwise you lose. Period. You will get beat. You're going to get beat in the marketplace if you don't train every day. I'm wearing my Cardone University t-shirt because if you don't train every day, don't expect to make the sale. If you don't train every day when you leave here, do not expect your people to follow up. If you don't train every day, do not expect your people to answer the telephone correctly. If you don't train every day, do not expect your people to be motivated to do the right thing. If you don't train every day, if you don't require training every day, if it's not mandatory every day, you will not get the cash flow. You will get just enough money to pay the bills. And by the way, everybody's got that figured out. Everybody on the planet has figured out how to pay their bills. Even people that don't have any money are figuring out how to eat. Everybody agree? So don't be bragging about your bicycles and your two BMWs and your country club that you paid for and the roof over your head and you paid your utilities and your gas. And don't tell me that, oh, somebody else has got it worse than you. Of course somebody else has got it worse than you. I hear this all the time from people. Okay? Somebody gets whacked. They have a bad situation happen. They're like, but I'm grateful. What do you mean you're grateful, man? You're filing bankruptcy. I know, but I still got my health. But you don't have your financial health. You shouldn't have gone bankrupt. You should have prepared for it. Don't make sense of the failure, okay? If you're taking notes, quit making sense of the failures.
I want to talk to you about the cash flow. I'm talking about the cash flow, not the snow. I'm talking about getting that third flow. You work, your wife works. Yeah, y'all cracking some freaking smack daddy money. You getting some long green. You made your first $1 million last year. That's right, between the two of you, after you paid your taxes, you end up with four or five, maybe 600, if you know how to play the game. But what you don't have is number three. Your cash don't work. You got scared once you put away your first milli. You and the wife are like, oh no, what do we do now? You called your uncle, not me, not Uncle G. You called your other uncle, the confused uncle. He said, pay the house off. You called your financial advisor. Start investing in 401ks and the IRAs. And then you saw something I said about cash is trash. A home is dumb equity. What are you doing, folks? Get that third flow. It's like a good snowstorm, baby. You need that third flow when you can't work. You can't crank. You can't create. The third flow of income is the one you buy. You take your dead money, cash is trash. Take that dead money and get it invested in hard assets and only make a decision to invest in those things that pay you cash flow. You invest cash, you get back cash every single month.
I want to tell you a story. When I grew up, my first failure happened in a baseball park. I had a dream that I would be a professional baseball player. And I lost that dream to drugs. You guys, don't give up on your dreams. I'm not here to jack you up. I'm not here to get you excited. I'm here to be an example. I'm not your friend. I'm your Uncle G. 2 minutes with me every day. 2 minutes. I go to the gym and work out every day. 6 days in a week. All I ask you to do, turn on your computer, spend 2 minutes with me every day. Stop the bull. Stop the Netflix. Give me 2 minutes. Give me 2 minutes. You give me 2 minutes every day, I'll change your life forever.
If you want more top 10 videos, they're not on this channel anymore. I have a dedicated channel just for it. Go check it out. The link is right there next to me. Continue to believe, and I'll see you there.